Hi, everybody. Thank you for staying till the last session. My name is Michal Hrušecký, and I'm going to talk about open source router that we make in Czech Republic. I would start because we are here in foreign country with a little bit introducing a company I work for now. We are pretty known in Czech Republic because we are Czech top level domain registrator. We are legally some association, but we are mostly operated like non-profit. And we are getting money from Czech domain registrations, and we are spending all this money to improve internet and world in general. So what do? Apart from domains, we do some internet routing daemon that is powering quite some peering centers around the world. We develop a DNS server. We publish books regarding IPv6. We translate ProGit. We have a book about LibreOffice Writer that we are publishing. We even made a TV series about how end users should work with internet, about the importance of HTTPS and how they should pick up the password and stuff like that. And it was running in Czech TV after main news. So we are trying to do good. And one of the things that we did was a project called Turis. This was our first router that we got. And I would like to speak a little bit about the router that we made before Omnia. It was PowerPC. It had 2 gigabytes of RAM. It has 250 megs of storage, which if you compare it to the typical router that you get in grocery store, you usually get something like 32 megs of RAM, and if you are lucky, 8 megs of storage. So this was pretty powerful machine, and it was given to citizens of Czech Republic for free if they signed the contract. And that contract said that we will spy on them. The idea behind that was we were monitoring the traffic that they were generating, and we were looking for some anomalies. So we would find if they were participating in some DDoS or something like that, if they were distributing some worms, if they had infected computers that were spreading diseases around the internet. And these routers also had also were endpoints of our central honeypot. So we get people attacking end users, attacking their routers, trying to get inside. And if this attacker attacked like 3 routers that we know about, these routers complained to our central server. And this central server sent a warning to all the other routers, so this attacker was known to be a bad guy and nobody let him in anymore. So that's what we did. And quite some people liked the router because, as you see, it's quite powerful machine and it's usable for quite a lot of more than just routing and providing Wi-Fi at home. I have even a picture of it. I took a picture without the cover because I know you are all geeks, so you are not interested in how we have a nice blue cover, but you are interested in the internals, right? So plenty of people were interested in this router, and when my colleagues were speaking at some conferences, always somebody asked them, hey, we want this, we want to buy it, sell it to us. And we were saying, no, it's part of the research project we are doing. We are trying to improve security, we are trying to catch bad guys, and basically it was financed from money that we got for Czech domains, so it wasn't kind of fair to give it to foreigners. So we came up with a new project that was called Turis Omnia. It's a cool router. It's again open source and open hardware. We kind of focus on security. We have automatic updates. We are doing security updates of packages that are integrated in the router, and these updates get automatically installed. So you can put your router in your corner, in back of your corner somewhere in your house, and do not attend it, but it will get all the security fixes and it will be still secure. And it can do much more than just the router. It can become server that you have at home. It is quite expensive. It is even more powerful than original router. And it is actually something that you can finally buy. And all the spying is optional. So you don't have to let us spy on you. But if you would like to, yes, you can opt in and let us use data about your attackers to protect everybody else. So it started, when we started, we did an Indiegogo campaign to figure out how many people were interested, because basically we knew that on conferences people approach us and would like to have such a router, but yeah, is there reason to actually manufacture it? So we set up pretty low expectation, something like $100,000, and we managed to get it in one day. And since then, it was getting more and more popular. Nowadays, there is more than $1 million. We sold more than 4,000 of these routers. And hopefully, we will start shipping them soon. There was one issue. Before we started the campaign, we knew what we would have to do, and we had everything prepared. And then we found out that when we asked our manufacturer of PCB to make them, that they didn't make them quite okay. And they made them late, and they were broken, and we had to switch to a different provider, and he didn't manage it again. And last news is that we found the provider that almost managed. They just made some paths too wide or too narrow. I admit I'm not an electrical guy, so I don't understand that. But my colleagues explained me that there are some high frequency stuff, and if you make it too wide or too narrow, there will be some interferences and whatever. Well, the result was that our gigabit one port wasn't as reliable as we would like, and we were getting some errors. But it looks promising, because that was the only error, and the manufacturer promised that they can fix that. They can make more control and make it correctly. And new prototypes should be arriving pretty soon. So if they will arrive and will be okay, we will start manufacturing finally. But yeah, the problem is that every try takes several weeks, so it got us a little bit delayed. I'm sorry for that. If you bought our router, we are sorry. But don't worry, we will deliver. So, what will you get? It's an ARMv7, 2-core, 1.6 gigahertz. We have two variants. You can buy it with either 1 gigabyte of RAM or 2 gigabytes. We have 8 gigabytes of eMMC. We have 3 gigabit ports on SOC. One is dedicated to one, two are put inside the LAN network. We have a manageable switch that can understand VLANs. We have SFP, so if you have a fiber at home, you can use our router. We have mini PCIs, and well, we have three mini PCIs, and one is switchable between mini PCI mode and mSATA. So if 8 gigs of storage is not enough, you could put SSD inside and use it as a server. And we have two USB 3s if you want to extend it a little bit more. This is a picture of one of the latest boards, one of our latest prototypes. And yeah, it's a board. Little bit about the network, how it works. As I said, we have 3 gigabit ports on SoC. Then we have a switch chip, which goes to all the LAN ports that are behind the router. Two of the gigabit ports goes to the switch chip as well, and you can configure it any way you want. And then we have one port that is dedicated to WAN, and basically to get your internet. And there is either classical Ethernet, Metallic, or SFP, and yeah, you can put fiber in there. This one is just switchable. If you don't have anything in SFP, it will use classical Ethernet cable. If you have if you put in SFP, it will switch off classical Metallic one and use SFP. This is how you can configure in Web UI the switch. It actually can do VLANs, so you can use the port that was shown here. You can attach those internal SoC ports to whichever external port you want. Or you can even set up external ports as a tagged to some VLAN and then connect trunk to your SoC and manage it via software inside. Or you can dedicate one port to VLAN trunk and distribute your more complicated network setup somewhere. As I said, it's quite extensible. We have USBs that you can attach pretty much anything nowadays to. We have 3 mini PCIs, also plenty of stuff that can be attached with. One of the things that we actually sell as an accessory is a SATA controller that you can connect more hard drives to. We have some GPIOs on the header inside. We have I2C, SPI, UART, and we have 3.3, 5, and 12 volts power out. So you can power up the hard drives that you attach to it. Let me go back to the picture. So here's the power out. Here is the connector with here's GPIOs, and here is the rest of the stuff. I have a better picture. So SPI, UART, I2C, and GPIOs. So that's one part about the hardware. There is one more cool thing that I would like to stress. We have RGB LEDs. You can see them blinking here. Here they do just RGB, but they are completely configurable, so you can set up any color you want. They can be pink or cyan or whatever. You can set up them individually. You can configure the color, intensity, what they are triggering. We originally have a configuration tool that we used on the old routers. But last week, one of my colleagues integrated them into kernel, so they are now accessible to normal LED subsystem in kernel. So you can do pretty much anything with them. And it's fun. And they are kind of handy sometimes. Now, let's get to software. We are shipping it with OpenWRT, as it is a router. So in OpenWRT, there is plenty of stuff that is already set in a user-friendly way. There is a web UI called Lucy that allows you to manage pretty much anything regarding your network. We wrote our simplified UI for beginners because, yeah, it's nice that you can set up multiple Wi-Fi networks and connect them over bridges and stuff, but if you are a home user and beginner, you get easily lost in all those options. So we have a first round configuration wizard that will guide you to the typical setup that you might need. Then, obviously, it's as it's running Linux, you have SSH, so you can SSH to your router and set up everything through SSH. We are delivering it with kernel 4.4, but in general, there is nothing really depending on this patched kernel. We had Andreas Faber installing OpenSUSE on it using Linux Next, and it mostly worked, apart from setting up the switches and switching SFP and that. Well, for switching between SFP and Metallic, you need some control over it. But in general, Linux Next works. U-boot, we are using Marvel one with some patches. We know that this could be improved, but hopefully over the time we will get to the state that you could use vanilla kernel and vanilla U-boot. And everything we have is installed on top of ButterFS, and we are using snapshots, as you might be used to doing in OpenSUSE already. And most of the changes that we had to do to OpenWRT are regarding the update, because if you know OpenWRT, usually you build heavily compressed small image that you can flash inside that 8 megs of flash storage that you get. But as we have plenty of space, we are installing individual packages and we are updating as any normal Linux distribution. And yeah, there were some cases that we hit that were not that well supported by OpenWRT. So our patches to OpenWRT are mainly regarding that. And we are trying to contribute upstream as much as possible. Now, one cool thing that I would like to mention is how to do factory reset. We have a reset button, and the longer you press it, the more LEDs will power on, and you can actually select between different types of factory reset. You will start, if you press it for a short while, you will do just normal reset. If you press it longer, it will just return one snapshot back, because, yay, we have ButterFS. Factory reset is basically just returning to the first snapshot that is there. We also added support for flashing system from USB. If you manage to break your ButterFS, then you wait for enough LEDs to shine to actually flash new system and format ButterFS. And yeah, you can recover using USB. Or if you manage to break it and you want to take a look, there is a serial console port. And if you press reset button long enough, you will end up in recovery system. And you can investigate what went wrong, go through your snapshots that you have, and choose what you want to restore to. Also, if you manage to break a recovery system or U-boot, you can boot up even over the serial console. You can send U-boot inside, boot up U-boot, and then via U-boot, boot from network, the kernel, and it's really hard to break it completely. There is plenty of option how to recover if you play with it. So as we are using a lot of snapshots, we found out that it would be quite handy to have some tool to manage the snapshots. So we had to, in the end, we wrote one, really simple one. We call it Schnapps. And it can do all the basic operations, like show you what snapshots you have, create new snapshots, roll back to those snapshots, and do some comparison between them so you find out what you did. And you don't have to roll back, you can just change some stuff. Apart from that, you probably heard about LXC, about containers. It's a simple method for virtualization. And yeah, it uses C group, namespaces, and you can run virtual system. This virtual system can have its own network interface, which can be connected to some bridge. And this router actually already has a bridge, if you boot it up for the first time, between the two internal gigabit ports that are connected to LAN and Wi-Fi. So you can easily, when you run a virtual machine, you can connect it just to this bridge and you have another computer on your network. And it has the advantage that you are sharing operating memory, so it's much less, it takes much less resources than full virtualization. And we have support for that, and actually, there is a nice application in Lucy, so you can set it up over the web interface. This is how it looks like. You get a list of your running containers, you can start them, stop them, somehow modify them, or you can basically download from some template, new container, make it run, and you can get your OpenSUSE inside the container quite easily. And this way you get both all the managing capabilities of OpenWRT and all the bells and whistles from the real distribution with all the packages that we have in OpenSUSE, not stripped down. Now, one thing that people sometimes ask is about the central management. Some expensive routers, some routers for companies, have this feature. It basically is that you have one router that rules all the other routers. So you have one web UI where you can set up all the routers that you have deployed, for example, on conference side or in the company. Sometimes they provide even Android application, or you set it up via some cloud and all your routers that you have in your company connect to some website somewhere in China and download what they should do and how they should be set up. So it can be quite useful. So how can you do that in our router? Well, if you think about it, our router is just a cool Linux server. So you can use, for example, Ansible. You can deploy SSH keys to your router and connect to all your routers and set it up as you want. For Ansible, there is a UCI module. UCI is the configuration type that is used by OpenWRT, and it makes it kind of easy to do stuff and set it up. I know that on this conference, you heard a lot about SaltStack. I admit that I haven't played with SaltStack yet, but I plan to do that once I get home. Because, yeah, learning curve was a little bit steeper than Ansible. So I plan to try it afterwards. So that's basically it. What else is there? I just learned today that one guy that was using it installed a GPS inside into mini PCI slot. I didn't thought that it's possible or that it might make sense, but obviously it makes sense for some people. As I said, we are making a NAS perk or accessory which adds a SATA controller and bigger box, and you can put two 3.5-inch drives inside. You can create a RAID, and you can even encrypt your hard drives. This Marvel Armada has a hardware acceleration for encryption, so it can be even quite fast. You can do Tor gateway if your local government supports censorship, like in Czech Republic. And you can do separate Wi-Fi for your guests. You can do pretty much anything because we have GPIOs, so you can do some electric fans or whatever. And yeah, you can think about probably some more crazy ideas what to do. As I said, till today, I didn't even think about putting GPS inside. So yeah, whatever you want, try it, play with it. And that's all I have prepared. Now, questions? Do you have some?
When you have been talking about Lucy and about the deployment of changes to many servers, is it possible to create something like we have AutoYAST, so make AutoLucy?
Okay, AutoLucy, I don't think so, but we have snapshots. So when you install your router and you are happy with the configuration, you can just create a snapshot. And then if you need to reinstall, you instead of reinstalling, you can get back to the snapshot. Oh, yeah. About preparing multiple installations, yeah, we don't have that per se, but you can install basically system from the USB via this long factory asset, and it basically uses just the tarball of the system, so that should be one way to do it. Other way is orchestration. Yeah, we don't have anything fancier. Other questions?
So first of all, I'm a bit outside of the actual router business, so my question may sound a bit newbish, but I will ask it anyway. So the question is the following. A router is pretty much an end consumer device. It's a specialized device. You get it and you, well, expect it to do tricks. I get the extensibility. That's really great what you have on this slide. But maybe you need to think about presenting it to the end user. So have something like a web foundry where you can get those modules and plug them in. Would that be something that you are planning?
It's a nice suggestion. We currently have a forum where people exchange what they already did. But we are currently quite geek focused. So these people tend to attend the forum and they usually are good at finding information if it is available. But yeah, it's a nice idea. Currently we are trying to make everything happen, everything perfect before we ship it. Maybe later we will do something like that. As you saw, we already have a few templates for LXC containers. Maybe something for hardware would be interesting at some point.
Well, I had more in mind like something really end-user specific. So say you have those GPIOs, but what about you having an interface to say home security or stuff like that? I mean, these are the things that people will understand.
Yeah, for that, with the previous router, we had actually cooperation with one of the local electronics manufacturer who made some sensors and camera module and smoke detector and stuff like that. And I heard that they are planning to do something similar with this router, or not us, but that they are looking forward to this router and they will offer something like that. But in this regard, we are more depending on third parties because, yeah, we are trying to make a router as best as we can, and hopefully there will be other people providing accessories. And mostly these home automation things usually work that you have quite often they are selling some arm board with it that has some special radio put in USB, so we are the arm board and we have USB, so it shouldn't be that hard to integrate it. But hopefully some people will work on that. But we are, in this regard, hoping for the third parties to show up and do stuff. Okay, anybody else?
I have a related question. Do you have some plans to create some community around, like to provide next cloud packages for tourists or whatever?
Well, we are kind of depending for packages on upstream OpenWRT community, and we currently have some local Czech community with who helps with all the routers with testing and support. Hopefully we will get more people with this new router. I think we already sold more than the old routers were actually made. And yeah, we'll see. We definitely hope to have some community, but we still have to work on it a little bit. Thank you. So, any more questions? No? Then thank you for your attention, and if you have more questions later, I will be here, and the router will be somewhere here as well, so catch me later. Thank you.